This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy Nation, how the hell are you? We're doing this live. I don't know how this is going to go. We got Steve-O here. We've got Rich.
Somebody over here in the guest seat, right? Yeah.
Hey, just because we're live, man, don't lose that energy.
Dude, you've already lost this energy.
The energy is supposed to be great here.
And yeah, great. So how you guys doing?
What do you mean? We're 9-1, baby.
9-1.
9-1. 9-1.
Big win. Up. Absolutely.
Baltimore had a great defense, man. They were ranked number one defense, and we took them down.
Yeah, number one rushing defense against the number one running offense. So, as they say, something had to give.
Something did have to give. And, well, they came at us hard early, and we just stayed with it and battled through and persevered, you know, the story of the season there.
Well, I think that's, you know, typically when you get a team that comes in and you obviously, Cowboys have a target on their back sitting at the best
big
record in NFL, right?
Absolutely.
So typically what happens with that, especially when you're facing a team like a Baltimore or a Pittsburgh or any of our division rivals, which we'll find out on Thursday, is you got to sustain the initial withstand, that initial, like, high energy, here's the start of the game. And it had me a little nervous. I know, Jono, we texted back and forth a couple times. You weren't super nervous about it, but I was, man. I mean, they came out. They wanted to hit us right in the mouth and had me a little bit on my heels, and I'm glad we recovered there.
Well, I think just like any good horse in racing, you'll see the good ones always react to the mediocre type of horses that are out there in front, and then they get the job done. And I really think Baltimore held its end of the bargain on this rush defense, because I think they held Elliott in check.
Well, for the first half of the game, absolutely.
Yeah, I think they did what they had to do. And I think more props goes to Dak, because now if you control the run against me, well, you know what, I'll just pass against you. And that's what we had going. And I think now we're looking at a complete team. It's not like, okay, if you take my run away, I got the pass. You take my pass away, I got the run. This is the type of offense that we've triggered this year.
Well, and it's something different from what we had in years past, where we were one-dimensional. You know, they shut down the passing game. They knew we didn't have a running game, so we went with a running game. We didn't have a passing game, so now we're, you know, we've got it all working, all clicking on our heels. And what we'd mentioned about the Ravens coming in, we knew they were number one rushing defense, but we stayed with the game plan, and I told my son about this when we were watching the game. Mid-game adjustments, that's what you have to do, that's what wins, and that's what they did. They just kept making adjustments, and you saw in the second half, played out the same story. We wore them down, and we took the ball game over.
Well, not only that, and it's oversimplified when you say, you know, run and the pass, but there's a couple of different phases to the pass. You got your short, yep. You got your intermediate, and you got your deep ball. And that's where I'm starting to see, you know, Dak separate himself from some of these other rookie quarterbacks. I think Jared Goff had his first start for the Rams and averaged like 4.2 yards per attempt. You know, that's all fine and dandy, but that's one-dimensional on the passing game as well. And you're starting to see Dak hit these guys deep. I mean, a great game by Dez, another great game, which that, you know, hey, can we put that to rest of the teams? They're not as good with Dez out there, you know, blah, blah, blah. Hey, he looked pretty damn good. Dak's starting to find him, get him in the ball.
Well, they got more weapons now, and you mentioned Butler had a couple catches, and, of course, Cole Beasley underneath. I mean, how do you defend him? So, and given the offensive line credit, they're giving him time to seek things out. Now, he did take a little bit of a beating this week, but he's still able to look at the field, look it over, second and third receivers. I'm happy with the way things are going.
Absolutely.
I think Steve-O, he brought up when we first started the show about how the Cowboys, you can tell on each play what they're going to be doing inside their red zone, inside our 10, inside our 15, when we got to go 90 yards or so. I mean, and that was a great point, because you always knew what the Cowboys were going to do. They just want some room just to punt the ball. But now you're looking at a Cowboy offense that when we're backed up like that, it's all bets are off. We can still do whatever the hell we want. It's not like last year when we talked about it earlier that, you know, you know there's a screenplay coming, there's a draw play coming, just to give them that extra 5-6 yards so they could punt the ball out of there. Now it's like all hands on deck. We're still going to score here.
Well, instead of playing safe, like you're saying, okay, we're probably not going to pick
just
up a first
down. Just for
field
position.
Let's get give the punter some room to punt. Well, nowadays, obviously running the ball with Ezekiel Elliott, you're picking up his average has got to be 4-5 yards a carry.
Yeah, over five.
Easy.
Yeah.
And so you
it's
think about
be
that.
Over it's got to be five.
So even
five
if you're
better.
Inside the 10-yard line, you do a simple handoff off guard, off tackle, and he picks up 5 yards. Well, now you're looking at a second and five and chunk out another couple yards. Well, now you're right there, and our third down conversion rate is, wow, it's out of sight this
right.
year.
And that's what had me concerned the first series we came out and ran the ball and got stuffed. And I would have loved for them to open up the playbook early with a play action or, you know, a rollout and hit Witten coming across or Beasley. But it seemed like we just – I don't know if it was part of the game plan. Hey, you're number one. Well, you haven't seen us yet. You know, you can stop everybody, but have you seen us? And they did that first series, and it had me concerned.
Sure.
And then Baltimore gets the ball back, you know, and they come out, and what do? They do first play like a rollout, and they look more like what the Cowboys should be. But all in all, I mean, I'm so stoked over every facet of the game that we have going on just because of all the dimensions that Dak, you know, has out there. And he's not making mistakes. He can roll out. He can run. You know, he can throw the long ball. He's not forcing it. He can dump it off. He has – we talk about it week in, week out, the touch pass, the deep pass, intermediate, the handoff, running outside the tackles, running in between the tackles. We have a lot of stuff happening right now that is – we're firing on all cylinders. Now when you start looking at things, and you just brought it up, Rich, is now you got to stay healthy.
Yep.
And continue to get better because you're at going into week 11 in 2 days here.
Yeah.
Right? So how do we continue to improve so we make a strong push to the playoffs? And the NFC East isn't making it easy for us.
No,
they
Giants
keep winning.
Yeah,
they keep winning.
And the Redskins.
Who do you guys fear the most out of the two teams here, the Redskins or the Giants?
We talked about this, I think, last week. I fear the Giants more, but God dang, the Redskins look good against Green Bay the other night.
I think Giants are horrible. I really do. I think the Redskins are my biggest fear. And you'll see it this week. They bring their A game.
And, you know, the Redskins, they beat up on the Packers. Now, Packers are, you know, they've been beat up a lot. But the Redskins just – I watched that game Sunday night, and man, oh, man, they're a strong ball club. And I think they, just like everybody else, they have grown so much since week two. You know, week two was our first victory, which led to this 9-game winning streak, which we're all stoked about. And, of course, we lost the opener against the Giants. But I'm with you, John. The Giants scared me a little bit because they keep winning. But I don't know that they're other teams or they're just kind of squeaking by. Where the Redskins, what they did Sunday against the Packers there, that was a defining moment. So this is going to be a slugfest, a good old-fashioned slugfest.
Right. And let me tell you what, they didn't, and I think Jay Gruden brought it up from the Redskins, NFL schedule didn't do them any favors.
No, Sunday night then Thursday.
Exactly. I mean, all of a sudden you got, you know, they only got a couple of days and
They've done Thanksgiving before for him to cry about the schedule.
But it's a Sunday night game.
Sunday night game.
You know, but then, you know, the Cowboys go into Thursday and then another Thursday and then
a
Sunday night
game.
Bing,
bang, boom.
Exactly.
Three games in 15 days. I mean, that's a lot.
I mean.
But it is what it is. It's
we're so used to this by now, though. I mean, we have to be used to this by now.
As fans.
No one should cry on that Cowboy team.
Oh, no, they're all stoked and ready to go. And something with the way Jason Garrett has brought this team together, and he's a player's coach. He's liked by the players. He's interacting with the players. He's always giving them high fives, smacking them around. He's out there engaged. And I think that's brought this fairly young team together and everybody working with each other. And we talked before about the fist and everybody collectively all for the same goal. Now, all teams have that. They want to win. But – How do they want to win? They want to go really go to war for each other? Well, this team has shown that. And they also show it, he'd mentioned, they show up every day at practice, or he called it every day to work, and they're ready to work for the team, you know, team above self. And you've seen that, and everybody bonding and working. You know, Dez Bryant's father passed away last Sunday, and then I heard Escobar's dad passed away this Sunday before the game. So, you know, there's a lot of emotions going on, but that just shows that team unity.
Are you seeing now, you're seeing a Dez more active in the offense, and now you're seeing Dak. He's adapted to that, to where he's still spreading the ball out. And before it was like Dez saying, I'm not getting the ball. When I do get the ball, I'm getting a one or two balls. But now, credit to Dak again, how he has spread the ball around and keeps it like that. And another thing, to he's not running the ball either, guys. I mean, he's last game, I don't even know how much he ran Dak out of the pocket.
I think he just had 19 or 20. We can look it up here, but he didn't have a whole lot of rushing yards. But, you know, there's no
point
need
is,
for that.
I mean, if they're saying that that's one of his arsenals, fine. But I'm telling you, the guy's a pocket type of QB that's finding these guys, too.
No, and you're absolutely right. And it is part of his arsenal. And what makes it so awesome is let them take something away. Okay, and let him find, you know, if they want to keep him containment, you know, and have that pocket and say, hey, young man, you're gonna have to beat us with reading, and your receiver's getting open and you hitting him, which we knew he was a little off the first couple of series against Baltimore. He
well,
had a couple balls.
The look and stuff. I mean, yeah. That's Baltimore's defense.
Yeah, he was a little bit behind on some of his throws, held it for a quick second, but if they want to take that part away and all of a sudden, you know, Elliott's not having a great game, watch Dak open up, man. It's finding what is working and getting after it. And guess what? For me, don't run it for the next 7 weeks. I'll run it in the Super Bowl. I'll take a Super Bowl MVP out of him, let him run for two touchdowns or whatever it is. I mean, hey, he can scramble.
Well, and
that's part of his game. And I talk about this all the time. When you have those plays, there are certain plays in your playbook that
don't expose them early.
If you expose them, somebody's going to practice for the defense on them.
Yep.
So guess what? Let them fall asleep on that. I'll take it in the playoffs.
Leave an ace up your sleeve.
Yeah.
I want to switch topics for just 1 minute on this. Last night I was watching the game with Houston taking on Oakland in Mexico.
Yeah.
God bless Mexico for putting that together, NFL and Mexico working things out on that. And I'm seeing like maybe 25% of fans or even more with Cowboy jerseys.
No shit.
On.
And yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know what? That's our crowd down there in Mexico City, in Mexico. You know, I know, Jerry, you love revenue and all that, but God damn it. These people in Mexico, they deserve a Cowboy game one time. I really do. If they're going to open the door down in Mexico for these two clowns, Houston and Oakland, why not send their beloved Cowboys, down there? And I guarantee 70,000 fans would have embraced the Dallas Cowboys last night.
And that wasn't a bad choice. I know Texas has a huge Latin America following, you know, Mexico following.
Houston, yeah.
The Raiders, obviously. I think San Diego would be one. L.A., you know, any of those southwestern teams like that, but the Cowboys by far, by far, would blow them out of the water. I would love to see a game down there.
And Darth Vader was there last night. Did you see him?
Yeah, I seen him too. And I also seen a guy wearing a Raider hat with a Dallas uniform. So you know what? They are hungry for our Cowboys. Yeah. Just, you know what?
Everybody's
they cheer us
the
on.
Cowboys.
They cheer us on so much down there. They should be able to watch one Cowboy game. I'd love to have something set up.
There you go, Jerry
future.
Jones, right from Jono there. Listen up. I know you're listening, Jerry.
And yeah, Jerry, it's all economics. He doesn't care.
No, he cares. He definitely cares.
Jono said he'd make up the difference in revenue, so don't worry about it. He'll
I'll chip in with the guys here. What do you guys got? Let's potpourri the money out here.
I got about $22 on me right now.
I got 200.
200. Yeah. Well, here we go.
200, but that's going to the boat right after.
Oh, okay. Well, John's got his priorities in order.
Yeah, I got my priorities. We had
the Cowboys did cover the spread, so that was good.
And we've been covering the spread.
Speaking of which,
we've
no
been
love.
Covering the spread.
What'd well, what you was? Call? I mean, 27-10. What did what'd you?
I went. I went 31-17, and the Cowboys are up 24-17, marching in to go 31-17, and just hey, we're gonna eat the clock. We'll kick a field goal. and be fine.
Well, I was happy with that because I called 27-10. It was 27-17. So that's two in a row, guys. I mean,
yeah,
within seven points.
Been close too. But someone else here sitting in the on the table brought up the TRAP game again. And it never – this is the game
uh-oh
coming up that I don't even see this as a trap. I think the Cowboys know what they're in for. But in any case, going back to Baltimore and Dallas here, we had 417 yards to their 368. We controlled the clock 35 minutes to their 24. First downs, we had 27. They had 17. Are these – surprising numbers that I'm saying to you, or well, are these like on a trend?
Here's I mean, I've been preaching this from show one, time of possession, mm-hmm, controlling it, all right, letting your offensive line work, getting everybody going that same direction, getting those 10, 12, 13 play drives, keeping their defense on the field, wearing them down, and keeping their offense off the field. And I'm telling you, if you have ball security and you can do that, control the clock and time of possession, get out with some three and outs, all right, and you have some sustained drives where the third and ones, sometimes fourth and ones, but you convert those and you continue those drives, it is a recipe for a championship. I'm telling you. It's an easy formula. Yeah. It doesn't matter which team
you're
talking about.
Who controls the ball controls the game. I mean, you think about that. Like you said, those long drives and then wearing down the defense, letting our big horses up front, you know, impose their will. Early in the game, Baltimore, you got to tip your hat to them. They did a great job of shutting down the run. We had a couple three and outs, but we kept with the game plan. We had some in-game adjustments, and what ended up happening? Wore them down in the second half, fourth quarter. We took over because time possession at halftime was really close, and then we took over in the second half.
I also think that last year we were not converting the third and short, third and ones like we talked about in the past, and I keep preaching it because we were not making those short yardage. We were back in the cellar in the division on that. Yeah. But now we're converting, and check this out too, on fourth down conversions, guess what we are now?
3 for 3?
Seven for seven. Seven for seven.
Fourth down conversions.
On fourth down conversions. I mean, that's a lot of faith in your offensive line. That's a lot of faith in the all-around team knowing that you're going to get it.
Yeah, not only offense, but your defense. Because if you don't get it, you feel confident that your defense can get out there and get a stop. And that's important. And like you said, Garrett's a player's coach.
Yeah, player's coach. And if you think about it, you go for it on fourth down, you're if you don't make it, you're turning the defense over with, or I guess their offense, with great field position, which is putting extra burden on your defense to shut them down. And if you don't think about how important fourth and ones are, talk about the game last night, Oakland and Tennessee. You know, I think they got a bad spot on the third down play, but then they went
Oakland
on fourth
and Houston.
Down. Houston, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then they went for it on fourth down. They didn't convert. All that momentum swung, and then
No. That was horseshit. I'm telling you right now.
It was a bad spot.
Horrible spot. And
I
these
agree.
Referees,
I'm just saying.
We've talked about this before.
Right.
These spots are becoming worse and worse. And even on the replay, replay showed he got the first down.
Yeah, I can't believe they didn't overturn that.
I mean, I had a play on Oakland, so I'm very thankful. But you know what? I just knew that something went wrong there. And when the game started, that guy
out of bounds
catches the ball, and he's running down. You can't call. You can't end that play because then the defense says, well, I could have tackled him, and you can't get any more out of that.
So the funny thing is and you see this all the time with replay, is the fact that when these officials get together, they will usually call a touchdown because they know it's an
automatic review. Yep.
So why in that particular instance he didn't let that play go on down the line? Because guess what? If he's out of bounds, on the 42-yard line or 44-yard, whatever
it was. That's a great point.
That's an excellent point. But you see all the time, when you ever get a guy that makes a lunge for the end zone, okay, if there's any doubt, they will usually go get together and go, okay, let's call a touchdown, because they know they can go right to the booth and review it.
And the booth will do the review. You don't have to worry about a coach wasting a challenge.
Absolutely.
And exactly the play. If it's in doubt, let it play out, simply because you're going to get the review anyway. And well, that was a great point on touching out of bounds. I don't know why in the world he would have blown that dead. I guess my whole point, and we don't get that discussion, is all about the importance of those fourth down conversions. And they didn't make it last night, and I feel they were wronged on that. That looked like a conversion to me. But if you think about ours.
Not to you, to the whole world.
To the whole world. no doubt, our fourth down conversions, you got Dak Prescott diving forward 3 and 4 yards. You got Elliott 3 and 4 yards. So it's there's no way to overturn that, you know, as far as how many yards they're getting. But the whole point is the importance of those fourth down or third and short conversions. We weren't doing it last year. We're doing it this year. We're sustaining those drives, keeping their defense on the field a lot longer. And that goes right back to the planning we talked about, you know, scouting the teams, doing all the work behind the scenes, the preparation,
yeah, but
and then the good old-fashioned hard work.
I get all that. You always scout the team and all that stuff. But are you crediting this more to Elliott being in that lineup or the offensive line now? Same offensive line as last year that wasn't opening that hole.
Well, you know what? Here you go. How about this? Think about when Morris is in there. Same offensive line. He's not picking up the yards.
Right.
Elliott's got the vision, and now he's established the patience. Because you remember the first couple games, that was something Garrett kept talking about.
Right.
Hey, this isn't college. You got to wait for these holes to open up, but then you got to have a quick burst. Well, he's doing that now, and he's tearing it up. Well, Morris is in there, and, you know, we talked about giving Elliott some rest. Well, Morris is in there, same holes. He's not hitting them.
So it's incredible. Now, I would love for him to be a little bit more patient, closer to the backs of the offensive linemen, because it looks like he's about 2 or 3 yards still deep, which is a difference between, like, when an Emmett Smith.
Sure.
You know, Emmett was the same patient runner that we're seeing out of Elliott now, but he would ride those big asses, and all of a sudden he'd get lost back there. Yeah, he would get lost and then go through a crease and gone.
Yep.
And Elliott's about 3 yards still back, and then he's got that burst to get up in that hole, but sure would like to see him right up on those butt cheeks.
And I think that's just more of experience coming in, because he was too fast. Now we've telling him to slow down. So, I mean, I can't complain.
Now,
I think he's doing great.
I'm kind of different.
But he's a different back, too. He's 6'2", 220, where Emmett Smith was 5'8", maybe 5'9", 185. So different backs run different ways. Emmett could hide behind those horses, where Elliott's about as tall as they are. So it's different, but I think there's a distinct difference between when Dunbar's in the backfield, he really gets a handoff. It's usually a screen pass or something. But Morse back there, you know, Morse's a good running back, but he's not hitting the holes. He's not making it happen.
That just credits a lot to Elliott. But I got to disagree with you, both of you, on this, because I really think that you're seeing a much more of a burst into that hole. I don't want that standing around watching things. That's when they get you. I think you're seeing him with the handoff, and he's violently hitting that hole, and he's finding the seams. He's getting that extra 2-3 yards that we're not seeing out of Morris. Morris, he's thinking something's going to open, and he's in that stuttering mode that you're saying, that he's not. He's just standing there, and they're getting him. They're penetrating. They just fill those holes up every time he's around.
Well, you're right, John. I mean, I think the Elliott, with his quick snap speed, he's got that.
He hits Morris that hole. He's asking that offensive lineman, give me that half a second hole. Just a half a second, I'll take it from there.
Sure. No, I agree with you. I mean, you can't argue with the results.
No.
Okay? Right. I'm just saying that it's starting to become more and more obvious, his patience.
Yep.
And it's when you're watching a game, you're seeing it, and you can. It just, I don't remember seeing that with Emmett, where he was hanging back that 2 or 3 yards waiting for that hole to open up, where it just seemed like he was on the butts of those offensive linemen, would just kind of wiggle through and he was gone.
Well, and a lot of that, you think about when Emmett would get to the line, he could hide behind him, and he would there wouldn't be a designated, you know, back when high school football, you got the 2, you got the 4, you got the 6 hole, you got the 1-3-5, all those that you pop through. Where Emmett was, they would string it, and he would just ride along those guards and tackles behind.
Right.
And when one seam or crease opened up, that's when he shot through. Where now we've got more of pulling guards and everything else, and I think that's where the patience we're talking about. But, yeah, Elliott hits those holes hard and quick, but yet even at a stop, he's able to kick it in high gear with nothing, where Morris is kind of back there doing the happy feet dance. And, you know,
he's waiting. What Morris is the type of back that's waiting for a hole to open.
Yep.
I mean, you're looking at our guy Elliott now, and he's like, I'll find that seam that I can make a little hole through. I mean, he's running people over.
Sure.
He's running people over.
Well, he's jumping over people, too. Here's the deal. Hey, you know I'm a big sports memorabilia guy, right?
Right.
I might have to commission a painting of him doing a hurdle over something, because that's starting to be iconic.
Yes, it is.
I mean, this is now, out of 10 games, he's probably done it five times, six times.
Yeah, five
this one
times.
Had to be the best, because they showed all different angles. When he jumped, he put his hand down and like pushed off the guy's head to give him almost like the pole vault, or not the pole, the horse, the pommel horse.
It's unbelievable, and it's like I said, it's starting to become. Hey, you like the Jordan jump man?
He broke our man Tony D's.
Yes, he did
rushing for rookie year.
Yeah. Yep.
How about that?
He's going after Eric Tony Dickerson D. now.
I don't think he'll catch Eric Dickerson. And you know what? If it relates to something like that, then that means that we're not going to be a one loss or something like that. This is the type of team that I think it's got to be spread apart. There's no way that we could be one-dimensional like that. It's not a team that could work like that.
Agreed. If he's going to have a chance, if he's going to break it, it's going to have to be in a situation where he just goes crazy on a couple of runs, because the way our offense is balanced, they're not going to give him the touches that he needs, because we're not a losing team. We're a winning team. I mean, that's the big deal, is you're not going to be one-dimensional. There's too many other options. You want to keep him healthy. If he has a chance at that 1,800 mark, you're going to have to start seeing a couple more of those long 63, 65, 70-yard breakouts.
And do you jeopardize that as an offense? To give him those extra runs.
No, absolutely not.
I don't care about it.
Well, not at 9-1, you don't. Not at 10-1 after Thursday.
They've all bought into this team mentality. Even Dez Bryant. And, you know, arguably he, for a while, I mean, it's just his nature. Wide receivers, they're open on every play. They should get the ball every single down. They should this and that. But arguably he, well, kind of was a me-first player. Now he's bought into this team thing. And all in with it, you know. And I saw previously he was on the sideline wanting, hey, coach goes, hey, this play, you're sitting over here with me. And Dez was giving him the business. It was all mic'd up. It was kind of cool. I love those things. And he goes, no, you'll be on the next play. So Dez sat there or stood there next to him, and then he fired him on in there. But he's adapting that team-first mentality. And a lot of that from Tony Romo, who preached, you know, all about the team, and now everybody's buying in. But, of course, it starts from the top. Garrett has built that system.
I wish someone would take Garrett's red flag away from him, though. Every time he throws that red flag, I'm like, don't do it. You would think there's someone up top that says, God damn it, don't throw that red flag. Don't throw it. I mean, Steve Smith drugged that both legs
that
like that.
That was an incredible catch. Oh, my God.
Aren't they seeing that up there?
No, they were looking at the movement of the ball, seeing if they could get that overturned. They do.
He never wins those. As much as we win our fourth downs, less can be said about Garrett with his red flag. They should just assistant coaches should get just throw that away somewhere.
Garrett's looking. Where's my red flag at?
We had it a minute ago, coach.
We don't know where it's at. Too late. Play's over.
Sorry. Next time.
But hey, back to Dez. I touched on this. I think it was last week or the week before. I mean, the importance of catching a ball with your hands. And high pointing it and getting it out front. And Witten does that a lot. I think everybody else, they get them hands out there, and they're big bodies, so they're able to ward off the defender just by angles and Dak putting in a good spot. Romo did the same thing, too, and they catch the ball with their hands, and there's no way to defend that.
Well, the touchdown to Dez Bryant, it was almost like a basketball play. Box the guy out, use that big body. That defensive back, there's nothing he could do. And Dez, right there, bang, with his hands.
You're going up against guys that are usually 5'10", 5'11", 6 foot from a defensive back standpoint. And, you know, your bigger receivers, bigger bodies, longer reach. We talk about it in boxing, right? Reach and everything. The longer reach. Yep. And they just get out there and they grab the ball, and there is no defending that. And I love the way and we talk about it all the time.
Well,
got to catch with your hands.
When I was over at your house there, you had those receiver gloves.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, you at home, and I never wore a pair of these new modern receiver gloves. The old Stick'Em days, they got nothing on these gloves. And I don't have the biggest hands in the world. So you got somebody like Dez Bryant who's got these big mitts, and you put those gloves on him, holy cow. You just clamp onto that thing, you never let go.
Let me tell you what. Everybody thinks the Odell Beckham Jr. catch was amazing. It wasn't. It was a nice catch, but with the gloves on, that they have on. I mean, it's like they're like Velcro almost. I mean, they just stick. So from that standpoint,
pretty amazing. I never felt anything like that.
If you try to catch a ball, John, what I do, I bring people over. I got a pair of Larry Fitzgerald's gloves from him after a game one day. I say, hey, I'm going to throw you a football, and I got game footballs from off the field too. So I throw footballs to you.
In his man cave with billions of dollars worth of memorabilia, we're throwing a football around.
So catch them with your bare hands. You throw you three or four balls, and then I say put on these gloves and catch them. And I'm telling you, it is a world of difference. Really? Unbelievable.
It's incredible, Joe.
Why don't the DBs wear
They do.
They do.
I don't see them wearing as many gloves as the wideouts.
Well, no, they all wear them.
Well, the reason they're DBs and they don't have as many catches because they tried off at a wide receiver and they couldn't catch the ball, so now you're a D-back.
Right.
That's the old rule.
Yeah, defensive backs are just wide receivers that can't catch.
Right.
So
and are under 6 foot.
And you saw
two.
That. Hey, and you saw it last night in the game. There's a ball right to whatever safety it was for Houston. Was it Oakland?
Hit him
right in the chest.
Yep.
He did not try to catch the ball out front.
He did quite a worm flop around when he did catch it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, so, before we get to our showdown with the Redskins here, would you say the power rankings now, the Cowboys, Seattle, and New England, top three? I mean, would you say that it's looking like that?
Yeah.
It's going to come through Seattle. We're going to have to face Seattle.
Well, we got Seattle and you have Atlanta. So you would hope that they sit there at 2 and 3 and have to face off to each other. But
yeah, I don't. They're not even on here as top 10.
Really?
Yeah, they're number 11.
That's odd. But yeah, I mean, Seattle. Obviously, you're starting to get Russell Wilson, healthy, and he's playing great.
Now.
He's playing great.
He's got his shit together. They're throwing the ball perfectly. I don't know about their running back situation. That's what sets them down too.
Right.
I mean, that brings them. I mean, they had Michaels. They got rid of him. Now that Rawls is hurt. And the other guys are hurt,
Pro
too.
Sace is hurt again. I mean, their Michaels are going to have to sign him back, right?
If I was him, I'd say, man, are you kidding me?
Kidding me?
I wish I had another offer so I could just flip you guys off right now. I don't care who offers me anything, just to flip you off. And you got rid of me? What the hell did I do wrong?
Nothing. So, fans, not only you get to hear Giotto now, you get to see his expressions. That's why we're always laughing. True to the core, baby. Flip him off. Let somebody else. Off.
Yeah. All right, so that's what we got.
So, hey, I had something. From a fan's perspective, all right, and I know you guys both played sports. So after there would be a sack or some whatever Baltimore did the other day, all of a sudden it was the feed me. Terrence West had a good run. He's like, oh, feed me. Is it just me? It bothers me, but does it bother me if it was somebody doing it to Aaron Rodgers with the discount double check thing? I mean, does it bother you guys on somebody's doing it? You just want to shove it up their ass? Like, yeah.
No, I don't really care about it.
I think it's right back in your face.
Honest to God. What I seen last night, though, I seen our MMA fighter, our Irish fighter, they're doing that now to where – they're doing this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
When he walks into the octagon, what's his name?
Colin McGregor.
Yes.
Colin McGregor, yeah.
I mean, when he walks in, it's cool because he gets that arms waving like that. Now they're all doing it whenever they make a great play. So
really?
And the Elliott thing is, I think that's all Elliott. And I don't know. A big guy like me going, feed me, that wouldn't look good.
Speaking of which, we're a little late on the show today, and somebody's going to have to feed me. You're buying Panteras today.
He loves buffets. I don't know what the hell it is with you. Who ever called something all you can eat? Who was the originator of all you can eat?
It's the fat man's four favorite words, all you can eat.
Anyway,
and
this week
of which,
we've got
Thanksgiving's coming up, right?
My point, yeah, exactly. My point being is they kept doing this feed me thing, and I said Steve Smith was going to have a big game, right?
Yes.
He had a pretty good game.
I said Wallace was. Okay. So
both of them were right. Yeah. So, but Steve Smith, the funny thing is he would make a play and he would do the feed me thing. And then the next time I'd see his ass on the sideline getting a drink of water. He played a play, would make a catch, and have to, why don't you do a drink me? You know, give me something to drink.
Well, he just got fed. He has to wash it down, I guess. Yeah. That's what it was.
He broke a record, too. He got
a thousand catch.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. But 999 was pretty sweet. And that's where the Garrett challenge play. And then he had the kind of behind the scenes. Steve Smith said, really? You're going to take that catch away from me?
Right.
To Garrett. And Garrett says, it's in doubt.
Every time I see him, I still think he looks like Nelly, which is one of our St. Louis guys here.
Absolutely.
So I always want him to break into some
rap. Well, we can't go without a St. Louis name, huh?
Did you just do that to the camera?
Wow. I think he got busted.
He's warming up, folks.
He's warming up to the cameras. Now he's got them. So we're talking to the camera.
Well, I just don't want us to forget any lineman's name or any crap like that we have in the past.
Hey.
And
hey, I forgot Frederick, our center, our star big-bearded center, two weeks ago.
They look good, man.
Oh, they do look good.
They look like hosses.
Yeah. Well, and once again, they've all bought in. They're all together as a team. And, you know, Prescott, even Romo on the bench, is bringing these guys together. He's saying, look, collectively, and that's something special. We've all played for good teams. We've all played for poor, bad teams. And it's all about that bond, that unity.
Believe
in one
another. I thought Tyrone Smith did a real good job on
Suggs,
yeah.
T-Sizzle.
Yeah.
Well, and Suggs, you know, had his name called a couple times in the first half.
Yes.
By the second half, he was, I don't know if he was wounded or not, but he was on the sideline quite a bit during defensive series.
Same thing I was going to say, you know, he went up against James Harrison 2 weeks ago and shut him down really. And Suggs was getting after it in the first couple of series and then, you know, really became a non-factor. So
when we spoke earlier, Steve-O, about Prescott took more of a beating this game than he has any game this year. But he had that perseverance and battled through. And once again, I'm telling you, there's so much to be said about it. It's a chess match or it's a street fight, whatever the case may be. You make those adjustments in between, and that's exactly what they did. It wasn't working, so you know what? We're going to make these adjustments. We're going to wear them down. We're going to get back to our game and spread the ball around. Cole Beasley, Jason Witten, and even Butler had a few catches that we mentioned. And, of course, Dez Bryant. I mean, it just was a good team win.
Well, you bring up the whole Dak getting nicked up a little bit, and you know, and I think they had a real good still shot of him. He is getting sacked and kind of falling backwards, and
you
know,
Zach sandwich there.
Yeah. So, folks, we need Romo this year. We need him. He's healthy.
He's going to get some reps.
Hopefully he doesn't.
Well,
no, he's not going to get any reps.
Let's hopefully he doesn't get any reps because we don't need him.
We don't need him. But I'm telling you,
God forbid something happens. Yeah. At least we have a backup there that we can trust in.
Right. When we saw it, I mean, Dak took some serious hits. There's a possibility. And I think we alluded to it last week talking about RG3, how, you know, the Redskins. And I mistakenly thought that Redskins went all in on RG3, but you mentioned Cousins was also a draft. And, of course, he didn't pop up on the radar as big as the shiny shiny ball as RG3 because, you know, man, that's something special. But, you know, they had him there. And the Cowboys have got Tony Romo as a backup. Are you kidding me? That's pretty special.
Yeah. I want to ask you guys this because you guys just brought this up. And as a Cowboy fan and as a fan of Romo, I want to know from you guys out there too, Facebook message and however you guys want to do it. And we know you guys are Cowboy fans. I mean, I get like 15 messages a day saying we're Cowboy fans. I got that. But I really want to ask you guys out there. Yeah, I want to ask you guys this. Is it fair to have Tony Romo on the bench after this year? Now, mind you, this guy can play. And I say, you know what, God bless him. Let him move on. He's got to go somewhere where he can play. I can't have this luxury. I know it's a luxury as a Cowboy fan, but if you're a Romo fan, you're looking at this going, you know what, the guy served his time on the bench for the rest of the season here. This guy needs to find a team.
Well,
that's no pop at anyone on this.
No, I seriously think that's sophomore slump. You know, I hope it doesn't happen.
I'm not buying it. Romo shouldn't buy it either. That's not really Romo's problem.
We get through this, and this season we win the Super Bowl like we're going to do. Go to preseason, training camp. We see what happens. You know, does Prescott still have it after a big successful year and not having a whole lot of adversity? I don't know. But
I can't bench him.
Well, here's what
I'm not saying. I say we have a quarterback controversy. No.
Well,
who knows?
Here's the deal. You're going to take it one game at a time right now. Okay?
Exactly.
So let's live out our dream scenario. Dream scenario is this. You roll through with a healthy Dak Prescott, and he wins you the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
All right? We're going to Disney World. All right?
Yes.
That's first and foremost. Secondly, I think you answer your phone if somebody wants to call and ask about Tony Romo. But I don't give a shit about what Tony Romo wants, needs, feels, whatever. I'm worried about the Dallas Cowboys. Okay? So if Jerry Jones answers this phone and they go, hey, we'll give you two ones and two twos for Romo's contract, okay, we can sign that deal. But you want to give me a three or a four? Listen, I'm better off with him as a backup because, A, it keeps me from playing him, and, B, it's an insurance policy.
Yeah, but you really – I mean, the guy's done more than that
I know,
to
but
deserve that.
They don't
if
do
they
anything
If they want to give you
players.
A number three for Romo, you know what? I think the perfect fit – and everything's going the way it is right now, people talking. I mean, Steve-O brought it up, and after he brought it up to me – on a message. I said, you know what? He's making a valid point, though, that people do want to talk about this a little bit. But I said, let's talk about this off season. But now Tony's even talking about it on the sense that, you know what? Denver may be a good fit for me. Denver may be a place for me to play. I say reward the guy. He hasn't done anything wrong to go against the grain. He's saying, sure, I will be backup for you this year. But you know what? I'm not buying that whole sophomore jinx and all that stuff, too. Because I really feel that this is how you tell the guy, with a firm handshake, you've done everything for us. It's time for you to move on.
Well,
I'll go to the draft, and I'll find that other quarterback. Mark Sanchez is not my quarterback as a backup. I'll tell you that right now. And everyone else there out there listening knows that Sanchez is nothing.
I agree with you, but I think really that's why I wanted – I wanted to bring on my agent buddy because I wanted to know – what the possibility
involved in
contraction?
We can still do that, you know, any time. But you know, I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah,
real
but
quick.
You know, the fact of the matter is, if Romo's running 17 mil or whatever against cap, and you might not have it in Denver, you know, that might not be an option. It might, you know, so you got to find out who's an option. And I know all those other guys out there, you know, the Morts and the, you know, Schefters and, you know, Schefters and the Colleen Cases, they'll all know that stuff. The three dumb guys in here don't know it yet. So I'm sure it'll be brought up. But at this point, what I want is Tony Romo to not talk about the future.
He's not.
I don't want Jerry Jones to talk about the future. I think we need to adopt the New England Patriots mantra. And all we're talking about right now is the Washington Redskins.
The next
Let clowns like us talk about that stuff. But when they go, hey, so what's going to happen in the offseason? You go, well, we got Washington on Thursday at 3:30 Central Standard Time. Yeah. Here
and
we go.
Happy Thanksgiving, by the way.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. And that's all. Then that's what they need to do, because that's what winning programs do. Because as soon as they start talking, and Jerry opened his mouth about it. Jerry's the one that said something about, well, we'll see what the offseason brings with Romo. Hey, shut your mouth. No. You don't need to be Twitter right now. What you need to be, and I'm talking to the camera, you just need to zip it and worry about Thursday's game. And when Thursday's over, you have a nice Thanksgiving dinner, and you get prepared for the next Thursday. And when that's over, you have the next Sunday night. Then you have the next Sunday. Then you have the next Monday night at home. And then you have January 1.
Right, we got the playoffs. Schedule. We got the goddamn schedule you're going to give us
off the top of my head. So that's what you need to worry
about.
Well,
there goes Jerry ever being a guest on our show.
Well, no, I think Jerry likes the conflict and the competition back and forth, so he may enjoy that. But, yeah, that message out to you, Jerry. Come on now. One game at a time. Redskins on Thursday. That's where we're focusing.
Yeah, well, I think Jerry's in on that, too.
Well,
say, folks, we got Colleen coming on here. Colleen, how you doing out there?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I got Steve-O to the right of me, Richie across the table here, and we talked about Baltimore, and now we're getting ready for the Redskins, the big Washington Redskins. Hail to the Redskins. I guess we're getting
what
pumped up
that?
For them. We're getting pumped up for them, baby.
Hail to the Cowboys. I don't know.
There you go.
Yeah.
How about them Cowboys?
No, but I'm telling you, Colleen, and the rest of my crew here, that this is what football's all about. The Cowboys taking on the Redskins.
Absolutely.
And I don't mean to offend anybody on this, but I like the name Redskins taking on the Cowboys. It's what it's all about. This is NFL.
I'm a Cowboys hosting the Redskins. There we go. That's even better.
I mean, this guy wouldn't even let me make any political comments over the last 2 months.
No, you can't make any political comments.
and here he is.
I don't even want to hear
political.
It.
And here he is with
no
Cowboys
religion.
And Redskins.
Yeah, don't go there.
Well, Colleen, I'm wearing my...
No religion, no politics, and no sex.
I won't allow that. Let's go.
I'm wearing my Cowboys Emmitt Smith Thanksgiving Day jersey here, so we're all ready to roll with this thing.
Yeah.
It's a 22nd. Yes, absolutely.
I have to say, real quick, thank you to both of you for sending me this jersey.
Oh, you liked it, huh? The Larry Brown jersey?
I love it.
Yeah. That
Larry
was from
Brown,
all three of
I
us
it.
There, Colleen. That's great.
That's
the from our show.
I didn't know that about it. That's okay.
Roll with it.
Jono's been all over it today. He's in the Thanksgiving spirit already.
Hey, speaking of jersey, I was just bringing this up as we were getting you on
you
the
phone.
You
bought another 49er jersey, huh?
No.
Oh.
Jerry Jones is all happy because he's selling more jerseys than ever before. And does he not realize that he has the two hottest rookies with brand new jerseys out and everybody's flocking to buy them? I mean, it's not rocket science. And this is, you know, hey, Jerry, come on, bud. It's easy math. You got the two best rookies in the NFL. Their jerseys are hot.
Well, you got the best team in football.
You got the best team in football. So just enjoy the jersey sales. Don't come to me like I'm a moron and I didn't think that you would be selling that many jerseys, okay? Who are they selling? Aaron Rodgers?
Discount double check.
Yeah, come on. Those jerseys have already been sold. You got the two best rookies. Enjoy it. That's my PSA for the day.
All right. Okay. Colleen, what do you got on the Redskins game?
What do I got for the Redskins game?
Yeah, any injuries for our Cowboys? Anything going on that
side? You know what? I had to laugh this week because several media sources went crazy and said, oh, four Cowboys didn't practice this week. Four key players.
14 players.
I was like, four key players? What? Well, that was Barry Church. Duh. We knew he's not coming back until the Vikings. Morris Claiborne. Duh. He's not coming back until the Vikings. Chris Jones, who just had a baby Sunday night. Well, his wife had a baby Sunday night. And the other person was Gavin Escobar, whose father passed away Sunday before the game.
Yeah. Well,
so there's no surprise there, right. And there's nothing to worry about.
That's right. Well, what do you like about this matchup here against our rivals, our most hated rivals? Not most hated. I think Philadelphia. You guys would agree it's the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's a coin toss.
It's the Eagles.
Yeah, we don't like the Eagles. Redskins may not like us. I don't think the Redskins like the Eagles either.
Nobody likes Philly.
Nobody likes Philly.
No.
They throw batteries at Santa Claus.
Philly doesn't even like Philly.
Snowballs and batteries at Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's not right.
Yeah.
Brotherly love, baby.
We have a jail and a courtroom with a judge on duty inside the stadium. You know that you got a problem.
Great point, Colleen.
Yeah.
What did I say about brotherly love? Yes, that's what
well,
I thought.
Well, Washington, they are ranked ninth on points per game. They're ranked second, 418 yards per game. Now, I'm telling you, these guys, these tight ends, they get busy, and this is our weakness in the middle. I'm telling you, Reed guy is no joke. That's 418 yards from that. Their passing is 301 yards per game. They're ranked third. And their rush defense, they're ranked 10th. This is a complete team now.
I don't see Jordan Reed as that much of a threat. I know he has in past done very well, but he hasn't. I think we can bottle him up. He's not going to be a problem for us. The one that we're going to have to watch out for is DeSean Jackson. He's going to be matched up against Orlando Scandrick. And that's my worry right there.
They have another receiver. What is that?
They got Garcon.
And they have another one.
DeSean Jackson. And then they have
What the hell's his
Crowder.
Name? Crowder.
Jameson
yeah.
Crowder.
Yeah. So. Crowder. Live.
Clam Chowder.
Yeah. These guys, I think, are going to be just like us. They're very versatile. And I think Cousins has found his thing now, too. He's been on target. This is going to be a nice showdown here for us. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, too. Colleen?
If we can get pressure on him, he won't do so well. If we can get to him and get some pressure on him, he starts throwing wacky, and that's when he starts throwing interceptions.
Yeah, but that's something we're not noted for, is getting pressure. So I'm just feeding you guys reality check here.
But I think I see Cole Beasley is having a great game. And this is why, because the Redskins don't look at him as a threat, because they figure, he's going to make those little short catches for a few yards.
He leads the team in
receiving. We'll let him do that. They're going to be focusing on Dez.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to think Josh Norman's going to be out there on Dez and probably follow him around. At least it you hope. I mean, let him try to take Dez out of it. I'm fine with that, given our other weapons.
Yeah, well, Terrence, yeah. I got
well,
a lot of faith in him, too.
Well, if they move Josh Norman over yeah. to cover Dez, because right now Bashaud Breeland is matched up against Dez. So if they move Josh Norman over, well, then that puts Bashaud Breeland up against Williams and Byron.
Which one, Butler?
I mean, Bryce Butler.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Then, you know, it doesn't matter. Either one of them can take it because I don't think Breeland can cover them.
Right. It's going to be interesting. I think this is going to be a backyard football game myself. I think this is going to be a high-scoring affair, and that's what Vegas has got this right now, too, at the over and under being 50 points. So I think that they're always on target. This is going to be just an up-and-down type of game. I think with the Redskins, though, we need to take control early because they always like to jump out ahead of us, especially at Thanksgiving time. These guys like to put the points on us and have us play catch-up with them. Again, it's not going to be the same as before with Romo back there because we got Dak, and Dak, I think we'll go back and forth with him. It's going to be an interesting showdown here.
You guys think Dak will run the ball a little bit this week? Get out of the pocket, and we talked about being kind of his pocket presence.
It depends on the pressure. I don't think it's this is not a design type of running team. He makes it happen.
Well, and if you look back at the Ravens game, they put the pressure on him, and I think the Redskins are going to analyze that and continue to bring the heat, and that's going to force Prescott out of the pocket. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say he picks up some rushing yards and even a rushing touchdown this week, and which frees some things up for the rest of the offense.
Well, the thing that really scares me on this game is the fact that Washington's sitting in the third spot in the NFC East. So, and they continue to win along with the Giants and along with the Cowboys. So we really haven't gotten any separation like we wanted to. And we talked about it at the beginning of the season when we did when we went through the entire season. The hardest thing to do is to beat your divisional team twice. Okay, I mean it's very, very tough, and we were able to beat them out at their place early on, and
week two, I believe.
Yep. And then for them, you know, they're coming in. They need a win. They need a win to tighten up the NFC East. They need a win to stay relevant in the NFC picture, playoff picture altogether. So they have a lot of things going for them that they need, whereas, you know, the Cowboys are sitting there at 9-1. They got a 2-game spread on the Giants, and you know, who really knows what's going to happen? But we need to come out and take control early on and put the pressure on them for them to have to play that game.
Colleen, what do you think about all
that? Do you think they're going to come in here tired?
Yeah, that's what we talked about early, is that the NFL didn't do them any favors with their scheduling, you know, going a Sunday night game and then having to get into Dallas, you know, have a couple of days to practice, which, you know, they started putting in game plan probably last week, the same way the Cowboys did for it. You know, that's what they tend to do when they got that Thursday game. And then they don't have the off day, really. They got to come into Dallas and play. And they got to come in on a Wednesday. It's not like you know, they got any time. It's a 3:30 game on Thursday.
Right.
So what are you going to do for Thanksgiving, Colin? You got friends coming over for the big turkey?
No, I'm just going to have a nice – I like my nice, quiet Thanksgiving. My football day.
I think Thanksgiving is all about football.
And eating.
And eating. All you can eat, right?
I don't want all the distractions.
Yeah, well, you know, my sausage fingers, they need all that turkey, so.
I just need the food and the football.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Food and the football.
That's beautiful. Well, they can't go wrong with that. I'm not too sold on the three games. They've had that on a couple times now. And
I think that's 4 or 5 years
four
now.
Four or five
since
years.
The NFL Network came on board. Yep.
I love it.
You love it?
I love it.
I think it should end with the Cowboys. And you know what? They're starting these sales now on Thanksgiving. People are leaving the house. Are you crazy? Why leave the house? You can go to cowboyspodcast.com. You can go to Amazon right there. You can shop away, and you don't need to go anywhere. You just shop right there and enjoy the rest of the food. Let those guys, if they want to leave the house, leave the house. You guys got the turkey. You got leftovers. You got
pumpkin
another
pie.
Football game. And then you sit around with your laptop and order some great stuff through cowboyspodcast.com/Amazon, and then you're shopping away and getting some great deals right there.
Hey, and I meant to bring this up off the air, but I guess right now, since you brought this up on the air with Amazon and with our business, I order, I don't know how many things a day
through CowboysPodcast.com.
Well, and that's my point to everybody listening out there. You know what? You got to order stuff from Amazon anyway. Why don't you go to Cowboys Podcast and order it right there?
Right.
I mean, because, well, not only you guys get a cut, but you still have the same thing from Amazon, and it keeps this show on the air, right?
And for Michelle Price out there, one of the fans, I sent Dez jersey out there to her, and she said she's a big-time listener to our show. So,
and
Michelle,
how did she get that jersey?
Well, you know
and
what?
She
what
is
I did.
Super excited. She came into the group. She's one of our my ladies.
Oh, she's one of yours.
She came in.
Well, there we go.
She came in there, and she was so excited. She announced it to everybody.
Nice, nice. Yeah, that should be getting to her Friday. She's in. You know what? I took it to the post office. And it said SD. I go, this is going to San Diego. And the guy goes, no, that's South Dakota. I felt like Harry Carey doing the football or baseball game there.
Oh
hey, hey, how about Tony Gwynn of South Dakota?
All right. So we're
nice cold, frosty one.
Yeah.
We're coming up on it. We got any predictions?
Let's get the predictions right now. Colleen, what's your take on this one?
31-24 Cowboys.
31-24. All right. High scoring one right there.
Yeah.
Richie with your Emmett jersey.
Baby. I'm going to go even higher than that. We're going to go 38-24.
38-24, the boys.
Oh, absolutely.
Steve-O, you're the most pessimistic out of
all of us. I know. You know what? The Cowboys, how they're playing right now, it's a lot like playing golf with an old guy.
Yeah,
it's very frustrating and boring. They hit the ball right down the middle. All right, they hit the green in regulation. They two putt for a par. I mean, these guys are on fire. All right, they got it going on. I'm going 34-31.
All right,
boys, I'm going high scoring.
I'm actually going on this one 31-30. I got the boys barely pulling it out in the last 30 seconds. You got something happening. That's how I see this. I don't see this at all a cream puff type of game as I have in the past. I think it's going to be a dogfight. I think the Redskins are ready for us, and it's going to be a nice showdown. I love it. I love it. That's what Thanksgiving should be all about.
You know, I got to be honest with you. My timing on Thanksgiving's a little off. The whole family's coming over.
Yeah.
And I think they're supposed to be there at 4, probably eating in that 5:30 range, which means that when I'm smoking my turkey, when I'm smoking my meat out there.
You even smoke the turkey?
Oh, yeah. We're smoking a turkey.
Oh, my God. That's got to be a yucky taste. How can you smoke a goddamn turkey?
We're smoking a turkey, and my wife does
it's good.
It's unbelievable.
Oh.
This guy. So here's the deal. What I'd rather do, I'd rather eat about 2. Okay, so I'm done eating.
Two turkeys or 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock.
Okay,
I'd rather be done eating early so I can watch the Cowboy game and have something exciting so I don't fall asleep because of the turkey tetrazzini stuff kicking in or what's it, tryptophan? And stay up and then go back for a turkey sandwich and watch a little bit of late game and fall asleep.
Right.
That's the ideal day there. we're hosting. I host every year that I can. It's been that way for years because of that very thing. I don't want to leave. I don't want to miss a play. And we usually have people over on 1 o'clock so I can get that in. So right when it's Cowboy time, I'm locked and loaded on Cowboy game. And then we can have a little dessert about halftime. And then, like you said, pop in another one for the night game.
Yeah.
And going back to how Michelle won that, by the way, out of the clear blue, I just posted – give me a picture of you guys before the game, what you're doing right now. and I had list of people that did it. And Michelle, she was all decked out in her Romo outfit, and there were cowboy items all around her. I said, I like that. I'm going to roll with that one. So anyway, that's what we got.
That's a message for people at home there.
Yeah, I think that's great. You know, if you guys you guys chime in like that, and don't send me pictures like 4 hours after the game like you guys did too. I don't care about that. I said during, before the game. So
Jado's got stipulations on everything.
I got to have stipulations. So that's what we got, my friends.
How do they find us? They got to go Cowboys Podcast on Facebook.
Yeah, cowboyspodcast.com. And they could go to Facebook. They could go to Cowboys Podcast, and we'll be right there as well. Our Twitter has blown up. Our Facebook is still very respectable, getting people left and right. So.
Almost 7,000 followers on that.
Yeah. Boom.
Well, and then, is it seven?
And then it's at Cowboys Podcast on Twitter. I'm on Facebook, I think, with an exclusive Cowboy one at Steve-O Jones on Facebook there.
Right.
We got to, you know, we try to get out there and interact as much as we can with the fans, that's for sure.
Well, and then my podcast went live yesterday. It's Kickin' Life Guru, or actually it's Kickin' Life Podcast, which is also at Lineup Media Group FM here.
Lineup Media.
Oh, .fm?
.fm, yes.
Through the group and no group.
Yeah, no group.
No group. We're a group, but not a group. But anyway, that's on there, and I'll be airing tomorrow again, another one, and I'm going to be talking about the Cowboys again tomorrow, just about the strength and perseverance, believing in each other and battling through, which is the essence of life, and it's proved the essence of the Cowboys' success this year. So make sure you check that one out, too, because I definitely talk about the Cowboys a lot during that podcast.
You know, I would love to have you when I go fishing. Because I'm always pissed that every time I throw it out there, there's nothing biting. You would be an ideal person that could sit by me and tell me, you know, perseverance, there's something in that water. Something's going to bite your hook. We're going to bring home a 7-pounder.
And if that doesn't work, you dive in and grab the fish with your own mouth and teeth and bring it out.
Goony goo goo.
Then I'm not taking you.
I think you're fishing in the wrong spot if you're not catching
it. Oh, listen to Colleen.
That could be Colleen. That could be also. Anyway, folks, that's our show for this week. Go Cowboys. We got to bring home this win. Let's be 10-1 after this week, guys. I'm so excited.
Absolutely. Now, what's the plan for the next show? We going
That's it, man. I'm done. We're going to wrap it up. I'm glad you brought something else up into this because it's all done. We got an NHL show following this one. That's on lineupmedia.fm as well. So we're done here, my friends. Have a great Thanksgiving. Colleen, you have a great one. Richie, you have a great one. Steve-O, it's always good and interesting when you chime in. And from Jono, Cowboy Nation, we love you. Let's bring home a win. Take care.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. Go, boys.
Go, boys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.